Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The Memorial Day holiday weekend was 2 weeks ago, and 2 weeks is the general incubation period for COVID-19. Now in Sacramento County, the number of COVID cases, hospitalizations, and people admitted to ICU is, in what Sacramento County has described, a drastic increase. The county's director of public health services, Dr. Peter Bielenson, is joining us by phone. Dr. Bielenson, glad to have you back on Insight.
Thanks for having me.
What's happening with COVID-19 in the county?
Well, it's not quite a drastic increase, but it's a significant increase. So we've gone from 2 weeks ago with 9 people hospitalized, 2 of whom being in the ICU, to 33 hospitalized and 14 being in the ICU as of today. So that's a significant increase. And to put it in perspective, when we were at our highest, which was back in the beginning of April and the end of March, we were at 77 cases in the hospital, 28 of them being in the ICU. So we're not back at that level yet. And we were never that high. As we remember, Sacramento County and the Sacramento metro area is the lowest rate per capita of any city, any metro area bigger than 1 million people. So we actually had a relatively low number, a relatively low count back then, but we're still concerned because we've had a 3- or 4-fold increase in the last 2 weeks.
Through contact tracing, you know some of the context of these spikes. So would you describe the situations of transmission that you're aware of?
Yes. So a couple of important points. We have contact traced all of these new cases, and none of them, as far as I know, certainly none of the hospitalizations in the ICU stays are related to the protests, which is interesting because they've been occurring for the last 11 days. And you would expect with 2- to 14-day incubation period of the virus that if there were going to be major outbreaks, we would have seen that already. So that's not the cause. But the cause that we do know about are 4 large gatherings, 2 birthday parties, 1 funeral, and 1 community church gathering, which resulted in the vast majority of these cases.
I'd like more details on that. The size of the gatherings, do you know whether people were wearing masks, what kind of activities were happening, and the degree to which these were exposures with asymptomatic people? I mean, there are a lot of layers of questions here, as you know.
So we don't know all of the answers. We do know that it was with non-asymptomatic cases in at least 2 of the 4 instances. For example, in one of the birthday parties, there were 9 people who were positive, who infected people who were at the birthday party. I'm not 100% sure of the other specifics related to the other cases, so I won't comment on them. But suffice it to say that of the hospitalized cases and the ICU cases, the huge preponderance of them, I think even all of them, are related to underlying conditions or elderly folks.
Can you explain a bit more about that birthday party and clarify, 9 tested positive afterward, or there was an awareness that somebody was positive at the party?
That's both. Both are true. One of the parties was actually in another state where a lot of people traveled from Sacramento and got exposed to people. The other one was here in Sacramento. And then the church gathering was of about 100 people, as far as I understand. And the funeral was actually for a COVID patient.
So I don't know to what degree contact tracing happens in the level of questions being asked of people, but are you able to gauge the sense that people have of risk and the decisions that are being made during this time of reopening, or in that case, travel, what the sort of belief system is right now around COVID-19?
Yeah, so I think we clearly have some message fatigue, and people are stopping to use the appropriate activities that they should be doing. They are obviously hand washing 20 seconds with soap and water, masks when at all possible, and at least 6 feet distance between folks. The virus has not changed. The advice has not changed. I think people are not paying as much attention to it as they had been. But we really wanted to call attention to the fact that we've had this significant increase in the number of cases in hospital and ICU. because we don't want to have an issue like we've had back east, where we've had surge capacity issues in the hospitals and with ventilators and ICUs. That being said, let me reassure folks that right now we have no surge capacity beds in use, zero. We have 814 in abeyance, so we have plenty of room, obviously, to take care of people, but we don't want to have this exponentially increase.
And again, going back to this birthday party, did the people come back then to Sacramento and are hospitalized here, and are some of them in ICU care?
Yes, to the hospitalization. I'm not sure about the ICU. But so this probably begs the question, well, you know, if we're on the watch list, as you mentioned, and Friday, this coming Friday, there's opening of additional activities by the state and by us as well. How do we determine whether that should happen? And the answer is, because the huge preponderance of these additional cases were these four gatherings, rather than businesses or hairdressers or other sorts of things, we feel comfortable in terms of opening things. But we want to just put out the message that we're not past the danger point of this virus. We could certainly have a second peak if we're not careful. And so we really, really urge people, although they're being sociable now, to be sensible about it. Let me give you a quick example of what I'm talking about. RVs and campgrounds are opening up on Friday. A sociable, sensible thing to do is to go with your family to Lava Beds National Monument, where there's not that many people. You go with your family who you've been staying at home with, and you self-isolate. That makes sense. What doesn't make sense is to do the exact same thing and go to a campfire with 25 people sitting around, all of whom are unrelated to you and could potentially spread the cases. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about being sociable, but also being sensible.
It's interesting, isn't it, Dr. Bielenson, that we're told to stay with people that we are usually around, friends and family that are in close proximity. And yet I think all of the four instances that you're highlighting in terms of spiked transmission are, for the most part, among people who are connected as friends and family.
To some extent, these are more distant folks, but these are gatherings of more than 25 or 30 people, and so they're really beyond the normal circle of friends and family.
What was the number of the largest gathering of those four incidents?
I believe it was 100, but I'm not absolutely sure.
I understand that Sacramento County is on the state's watch list partly to, and I'm going to use this phrase that I believe comes from the state, workplace exposures in the food industry. Can you explain that one?
Yeah, that one we don't really know about. Again, these four gatherings were the major components of the hospitalizations and ICUs. And to put it in our defense, if you will, although we're on the state watch list because of an increase, we had such a small number of cases prior to now that, you know, any kind of real increase would have shown up more in Sacramento than elsewhere. So, for example, L.A., which is on the watch list, but they've had way, way more cases and more hospitalizations and ICU per capita than we have. And they're on the watch list as well. So it's really, you've got to take it with a grain of salt.
All right. One last question then. In light of all that you've said right now, here we are in about mid-June of 2020, how real do you think the risk is of getting sick for someone in Sacramento County?
So it's gotten a little bit more. It's a very good point, right? So the good news was very few people got sick in Sacramento County in the first 2.5 months of this outbreak. The bad news is very few people got sick in Sacramento County during the first 2.5 months of this outbreak. And I say that because we have virtually no herd immunity, and virtually no one is immune from the virus. So although not that many people have it, if you get exposed to someone with it, you're very likely to come down with the virus because you don't have immunity to it. So we've got to really be serious about keeping social distancing, about washing your hands regularly, about wearing masks whenever possible to try and keep the spread down, because there are a lot of people that are susceptible to the virus.
Well, we hear often, Dr. Bielenson, about people who are listening and watching the information closely and really trying to gauge what to do in their individual lives. And of course, there are people who are living, you know, without fear and without a lot of concern through all of this, too. So what's important is that we are able to continue to have these conversations. I appreciate your time and the level of detail we're able to get in what's happening. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
That's Sacramento County Public Director of Public Health Services, Dr. Peter Bielenson. You can find much more information about COVID-19 in the county at saccounty.net. We'll post a link to that. And then for state-based services and those programs and information, it's covid19.ca.gov. We've been referencing that the state has put 9 counties on a watch list because of their challenges in containing the transmission. San Joaquin County is on that list. Last night, the Stockton City Council voted on whether to require masks and face coverings in public places. Stockton Mayor Michael Tubbs is joining us by phone. Mayor Tubbs, thanks for making time for us again today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to leave it to you to describe how the vote went last night.
So last night, we took up an emergency ordinance prompted by, again, as you mentioned, Stockton, San Joaquin County being on the state on watch list for counties who were issued a variant but are seeing even more widespread transmission of the virus. Last night, we had more people than ever in our hospitals because of COVID-19. And with as we begin to open up the economy, the idea is to stay open, meaning that we have to do things to mitigate the spread of the virus because the virus still exists, regardless of our feelings, regardless of what news station we watch, regardless of what we want to do. So we put the ordinance before the council, noting that it was necessary, noting that the public health officer said earlier that day that the science is supporting a masking policy, and she was reluctant to have that fight because she had concerns for her safety, as other county health officials have resigned or faced death threats for issuing similar public health guidance. So ideally, the council wouldn't have to rule on this. That would be something of a public health function, but in the absence of that leadership, I felt it was incumbent for us to have this discussion and to make the vote in the best interest of our city, particularly when we have so many people in our city with comorbidities, diabetes, et cetera, that make them even more susceptible to have a very fatal end with COVID-19. So the council, every single council member decided to vote against the ordinance, given a variety of reasons. I think some don't understand the urgency of this moment. I think some just get their news from other sources, which may not be telling them the scientific truth. And then some, I think, we're scared of upsetting people. But I think that the job of leadership is to speak hard truths. And we are in unprecedented times. We literally had to shut everything down just 2 months ago. And I would hate to do that again if I haven't seen any strategy for mitigating the spread of COVID-19. And I think a masking ordinance has to be part of that discussion of a new normal so we can continue to go about our lives and keep our economy open.
So the fact that you were the only vote in favor of a masking ordinance might also say something about how the people want to make their decisions in terms of this pandemic and its impact in the city. How do you hear it?
Well, I heard from a lot of people on both sides, like on every issue. I don't think there's ever been an issue we've had, particularly one of significance, where there hasn't been opposing sides. But I think last night we heard comments from almost 50-50 in terms of, I don't want to wear a mask, I do want to wear a mask. And then we have also heard from unions and groups representing thousands of people who are essential workers who are saying, please do this. We heard from some of our marginalized communities. At the same time, where we're talking about Black Lives Matter, we heard from a variety of civil rights organizations in the city about the need for something like this. And for those that were opposed, a lot of it was based off misinformation. We had people literally oppose the ordinance because they said wearing a mask was less safe than not wearing a mask. And that came from lay members of the public, but also came from Shelley Lemus, who is over our Office of Emergency Services and Emergency Response, procuring masks for the county. We had people saying things like, the mask will make me sicker, that I have health risks, I can't wear a mask, when the ordinance clearly said if there's exceptions. If you're claustrophobic, you get extreme anxiety, health reasons you can't wear a mask, don't wear a mask. So a lot of it was based off fear and misinformation. But again, in this time of COVID-19, we have leader. It's time for leadership, and we have to speak hard truth, and we have to say, no one likes wearing a mask. I'm personally claustrophobic. I don't like the feeling of a mask on my face either, but I really hate the idea of my citizens being in the hospital, my economy having to shut down again because we lack the courage and the foresight to put a common sense measure in place that's supported by science.
So let me track a few things. This has been an issue for you for weeks. This was not a step your county public health director was ready to take. You've been vocal about it. We've been in touch with the county and your county health department, and we did receive a statement yesterday saying that although the San Joaquin Public Health Services encourages people to wear a face covering, especially in places where social distancing is difficult, it is not a requirement. It was part of the long Board of Supervisors meeting. You tweeted, I think this was this morning, "I'm honestly confused. Can someone point me to the science or the fake news that causes people to believe that wearing a mask is more harmful than COVID?" And you did reference Orange County, where the public health director resigned. She had put a mandatory mask order in place that was highly controversial. Where do you go from here? Are you ready to let this one be as it is for now and focus differently?
Well, I don't have unilateral authority, so if it was up to me, it would have been done a long time ago. And I'll continue to encourage the public to wear masks, and I'll continue to speak for the need for a mask and ordinance, because I think oftentimes in hard times, people want to put their head in the sand and just hope things get better, but that's not how this works. We have to exert agency, and we will continue to persist through this pandemic. We'll continue to keep our economy open. We'll continue to save lives by the actions we take. You can't open up the economy with no concept of how you're going to mitigate spread, because the disease isn't eradicated yet. There's not a vaccine. So as we open up, we do expect to see more cases. That's true. But we'll see exponentially more if we're opening up with no mitigation. When I'm out about in town, I see a lot of people without masks. And I ask them, like, why? And they say, well, if it was serious, it would be a requirement. So, again, people are looking for government to signal that this is something serious, that this is not something we take lightly, it's not something we want to do. But I also find it ridiculous, frankly, to assert a right to get sick or a right to get others sick. That's not what our Constitution is about. It's about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's no liberty if you're not alive, if your neighbors aren't alive, if your colleagues aren't alive. So I'm passionate about this issue because I'm looking at the data. I see the data. I see where we're headed. I have yet to see a strategy for mitigation from the county and public health. I have yet to see an information campaign with $133 million in CARES Act funding. We have folks who are in charge of our emergency response saying that wearing a mask is more dangerous than not wearing a mask. And my citizens are calling me saying, "Mayor, where's the mask ordinance? Where's the mask ordinance?" So again, I don't think this is political. This is about public health. This is about courage. This is about leadership. And this is about doing things now so we don't have to make harder choices later, which will inevitably happen if these cases continue to rise and people continue not to take this virus that's not eradicated because it's summer, that's not eradicated because we're tired, it's not eradicated because we did a good job in flattening the curve. We have to persist. We have to continue. We have to take clear actions and make sacrifices to get through it. So I will continue to advocate and push for that and hope that the public health department, who's in charge of making these decisions, will make the call. And if not, we'll continue to challenge my colleagues to rise to the occasion like we generally do to really make sure we're addressing public needs and public concerns.
Meanwhile, just on this picture of the county being on the state watch list, I understand that there are some issues with staying open in stage two right now because of the number of cases, kind of that benchmark line that the county needs to stay under, and the fact that I believe the number of cases is now over 350. So I realize you're not with the County Public Health Department or the Board of Supervisors, but your take on the key issue right now in these cases climbing in San Joaquin County is what?
The key take, there's no strategy for mitigation. There's no robust public information campaign where people are spouting literally nonsense in terms of why a mask awareness is bad. And folks just aren't taking it seriously. When you have members of the board quoting the president and saying it's not that serious and pushing to open up more things when we're struggling to contain the virus with things that are open now, when you have members who are in charge of emergency services saying that the mask wearing is worse than not wearing a mask. We have to get serious about identifying a strategy, and I'm glad our state is kind of helping us think through that. And we have to take the actions necessary to mitigate the spread. If you read the description on the state's website, it's community transmission, it's workplace transmission. It's literally every way it can be transmitted is transmitting. And as leaders, we have to sound the alarm, and not to be alarmist, but to say, look, we want to get through phase three. You won't get through phase three being double what we said would be at in our attestation document. We have to take this serious. It's about protecting lives. It's about keeping us safe. It's also about keeping our economy open. For our small business owners and folks who are making sacrifices, doing everything they can, it'd be a huge disservice for them to not be able to operate because we're not able to contain the spread, because we're afraid to tell hard truths to the public and take the actions necessary to keep our community safe.
I will add that we reached out to the County Board of Supervisors and the county's Department of Public Health and offered an opportunity for someone to join this conversation. That's why we have statements, because that opportunity was declined. But I do want to thank you, Mayor Tubbs. I always appreciate that you join us on Insight. And I think some of what you're saying is some of the dilemma, the struggle, and the question that's happening in communities and counties across the state and probably across the country. So thank you so much today.
Thank you.
And you can find more information about COVID-19 in Stockton and San Joaquin County at the county websites. San Joaquin's is sjgov.org. We'll post a link to that as well. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. The hour is winding down. Up next, we're going to move into the uplift, and you'll hear my conversation with fiction writer T.R. Reagan.